Good day, and welcome to Sun Bancorp's third quarter earnings conference call. On the line for Sun Bancorp are Tom Geisel, President and CEO, Tom Bruger, Chief Financial Officer, and Imran Riaz, Chief Credit Officer. At this time, Tom Geisel.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tom. As the operator indicated, joining me here today are Tom Bruger, our CFO, and Imran Riaz, our Chief Credit Officer, and other members of my executive team. Imran joined Sun in August after 20-plus years at TD Bank in Boston, where he was last managing senior credit officer. With exceptional strengths in specialty lending, structured credit, and an enhanced portfolio analysis, Imran is an accomplished credit professional who complements our team, and we're delighted to have him join us. I trust you all have copies of our presentation, and as usual, we won't go through every point, but we will use it as a guide. You have all reviewed our safe harbor statement and non-GAAP disclosures on pages 2 and 3 of the presentation, so I will not read them. Following my remarks, I'll turn the call over to Tom and then Imran for additional comments. As we have discussed on previous calls, 2013 is a year of transition for Sun, where our focus has been laser-like to improve asset quality, reduce risk, and remain diligent in building our regulatory infrastructure and reinforce our core businesses. While the short-term effects were negative with regards to earnings, progress in all of these key areas will result in a better foundation for long-term success. First, let's discuss the economic environment. I will primarily focus my comments on the core market of New Jersey, as most of you regularly track the national economy. In September, the national rate of unemployment dropped 0.1% to 7.2%, which is the lowest level since November of 2008. However, U.S. employers added far fewer than expected employees during the month, which suggests that the national economy was losing momentum even before the partial government shutdown that recently ended. For September, the unemployment rate for New Jersey is not yet available. However, New Jersey still struggles with one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation. In August, the rate was 8.5%, more than a full point over the national rate for that month. While that state figure showed incremental progress in August, actually a decrease of 0.1% compared to July, New Jersey also saw 12,200 people exit the labor force in the same month. So joblessness remains high and the state economy dormant. Faster progress in hiring and wage growth is essential to sustain increases in consumer spending, which is the largest portion of the economy. Economists believe that fiscal austerity has begun to negatively affect job creation as well as interest rates. We have seen rising rates already significantly affect originations in the mortgage industry. Both refinancings and new mortgage activity is down, and as a result, lenders are making adjustments to operations and staff. I will talk more about the impact on this to Sun a little later in my comments. As reported by others, commercial loan growth has been soft. Companies are still reluctant to borrow due to the economic malaise, the uncertainty of the full impact of health care costs, and additional concerns about the government budget crisis and potential fiscal cliff. In our markets, traditional C&I is the most affected, which is a direct reflection of our economy. While commercial real estate has shown some signs of improvement, competition remains high. Margins continue to be squeezed. Lenders are competing fiercely on price. And as the pressure increases to grow loan portfolios, bankers' memories get shorter as we continue to see breaches in prudent structures by our competitors. As always, Sun will stay competitive on price, ideas, customer service, and experience, but we will not sacrifice safe and sound structures for growth. Lastly, now that the summer season is over, New Jersey has begun to assess the full impact of Superstorm Sandy on the regional economy. According to research conducted by the nonprofit U.S. Strong, New Jerseyans will end up paying an estimated $8 to $13 billion out of pocket because the federal and state Sandy relief assistance will only cover a portion of the total costs. For the most part, our customers have been fortunate. However, sales for stores in the hardest hit shore areas were down anywhere from 20 to 40% this past summer. And according to one major realtor, summer rental income was down 67%. As you know, we continue to hold reserves against Sandy, and we will monitor closely over the next several quarters. Despite the unpredictability of government, the economy, and other factors beyond our control, we have stayed focused on what we can control: execution, client service, and capitalizing on opportunities in our marketplace. So now let's turn to third quarter results. Speaking to page four of the presentation, we reported a loss for the quarter of $4.9 million, or 6 cents per share. This is compared to net income available to common shareholders of $678,000, or 1 cent per share for the linked quarter, and net income available to common shareholders of $1.2 million, or 1 cent per share for the third quarter of 2012. The loss can be attributed to, number one, the accelerated investment in consultants and advisors to support our risk reduction and regulatory foundation building efforts. As we discussed last quarter, these expenses will drop throughout the fourth quarter and normalize in 2014. And number two, our refusal to compromise the risk-reward balance to loan growth, which in turn has created margin pressure through higher-than-optimal cash balances and liquidity. Lastly, we have all recognized the immediate and forceful impact the rising rate environment has had on the mortgage industry and bank earnings. Sun's mortgage business is a microcosm of these earnings declines. In the third quarter, our asset quality improvement strategies continued to show progress. Through our efforts, we achieved a 54% reduction in non-performing loans over the last four quarters, and criticized loans declined from the prior quarter to levels better than forecast. Our provision for loan losses for the quarter was $724,000, and we are seeing positive trends with three consecutive quarters of net recoveries and $4 million in net recoveries year to date. We will remain diligent in valuing our loan portfolio and continue to use all methods available to prudently reduce risk while maximizing asset values. While we may see some fluctuations in asset quality metrics in the short term, we anticipate over the next several quarters being better aligned with peer banks as measured by NPLs to loans and NPAs to loans. Turning to page five, we continue to balance our efforts to de-risk the balance sheet with opportunities to achieve measured, risk-appropriate growth across the organization. While commercial lending is challenged by the ongoing soft economy and intense competition for limited business, our commercial loan production in the third quarter was up 158% compared to the second quarter, and the pipeline for the balance of 2013 is relatively strong. Of the $208 million in production year-to-date, 62% was from new relationships, demonstrating our competitive advantage in the market and ability to source business that values relationships. As we've discussed on previous calls, Sun's residential mortgage division is a strategically important business that has been a driver of our strategy to diversify revenue sources, build non-interest income, and enhance brand recognition. As mentioned, higher interest rates and lower demand for mortgages have negatively impacted residential mortgage operations at all banks, including Sun. In the quarter, we consolidated mortgage operations and reduced staff to better reflect industry realities. While this process will result in reduced expenses, it also supports our ongoing efforts to increase operational efficiencies. For the quarter, net mortgage banking revenue totaled $1.6 million, with closed production of $188 million, down 19% from the prior quarter of $233 million. While closed production has dropped due to an increasing rate environment, year-to-date production of $595 million is 39% higher than the same period a year ago. So while we certainly have been affected by industry trends, overall, we are still building this business. In retail, third quarter reflects our ongoing efforts to profitably grow deposits and bolster non-interest deposits. Average core deposits increased by $31 million, or 2%, in comparison to the prior quarter, and average checking account balances have increased 8.6% over the comparable prior quarter. We also decreased our cost of deposits 2 basis points from the prior quarter to 41 basis points. We believe one of our competitive advantages is that we are large enough with an experienced enough team to provide the core products and services of a big bank, but deliver them through a relationship-focused community bank system. In keeping with that, we opened a technologically advanced 1,500-square-foot de novo branch in Glassboro, New Jersey, ideally situated near the Rowan University campus in a central part of the state's largest municipal redevelopment project. We created a new prototype with high-tech customized features and universal bankers to serve the needs of downtown merchants and the university community. This past quarter, Sun also introduced POGO, a mobile payment processing solution for small businesses. POGO stands for Payments on the Go, and Sun is the first New Jersey-based bank to provide this mobile payment solution. We also made our mobile banking application more powerful with the addition of a mobile deposit feature, which enables online banking customers to quickly and securely deposit a check from anyone into a Sun checking account. Sun's mobile deposit and POGO tools are the latest additions to a suite of forward-thinking banking solutions that many large bank competitors still don't have and that enable us to give our competitors convenience and choice when banking. On past calls, we've discussed our company's collective efforts to make efficiency improvements in our branch network, reduce expenses, enhance risk management, and reinforce our revenue production infrastructure. We believe that the actions we have taken in the third quarter, following related and equally thoughtful decisions we have made throughout this year, complement Sun's turnaround and advance our corporate strategy as we close out 2013. Now I'll turn it over to Tom Brueger to talk in more details about the quarter. Tom?
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, everyone. During the quarter, as Tom mentioned, our year of transition continued as we remained internally focused, centered around reducing problem loan levels, remediating regulatory issues, enhancing risk management practices and infrastructure, enhancing our mortgage platform, improving operational efficiency, and maintaining a low-risk profile. Transition is in the late innings, and we believe that we have made significant progress in doing the heavy lifting required in any turnaround situation. We posted a $4.9 million net loss for the quarter, which is disappointing, but our operating performance is relatively stable, with the only caveat being the recent rise in interest rates, which depressed our mortgage banking income. Let's get into the details and start with asset quality. Our non-performing loans fell $16.3 million during the quarter to $55.4 million. A year ago, our NPLs were $120.8 million. NPLs to loans held for investment fell to 2.55%, which is down from 3.32% in the prior quarter and 5.23% 1 year ago. We had net recoveries of $123,000 and have now seen 3 quarters in a row with net recoveries. This is continuing evidence that we have valued our problem loans at the right level. Provision for loan loss totaled $724,000 for the quarter. Our reserves to total loans held for investment equaled 2.25% of loans, which is up from 2.22% in the prior quarter and 2.12% 1 year ago. Our allowance to non-performing loans increased to 88% from 67% in the prior quarter and 41% in the year-ago period. We continue to hold approximately $3.8 million in reserves for risk related to Hurricane Sandy. Our loss experience from the storm has been very low, but we need more time to assess the impact to our customers in the more severely impacted areas during the important summer season. It is likely that we will have more information to refine our estimates over the next 2 quarters. We are taking a very proactive, conservative posture right now with respect to managing our problem loans. We think this is the right thing to do until we are at comfortable levels. As we've mentioned on previous calls, we are implementing a new risk rating process. We believe that our new process is more metrics-driven, eliminating much of the prior subjectivity. We have kept many of our qualitative factors in our ALLL at a high level, hence higher reserves, until we further our risk reduction efforts, give our new credit team time in the job, and finalize the implementation of the new risk rating process. So to sum it up, we believe we have adequate reserves at this time. Looking at revenue, net interest income drifted higher by $1.2 million to $23 million as the net interest margin increased by 14 basis points to 3.1%. There was a $1.2 million interest recovery on a commercial loan during the quarter, so if you adjust for this, our net interest income was $21.9 million and our net interest margin was 2.94%. Our cash remains at elevated levels as our average interest-bearing cash and short-term treasuries totaled approximately $400 million. If $350 million of this excess cash was deployed, our normalized margin would have been around 3.25%, and we would add $11.4 million of annualized net interest income. Average loans declined by $61 million from the prior quarter to $2.2 billion, an 11% annualized reduction. Problem asset resolutions plus fierce competition in our C&I business are the primary drivers of the reductions in outstanding. We have been adding some high-quality commercial real estate deals to the balance sheet in recent months to deploy some of our excess cash. We will continue to remain disciplined on pricing and structure in the near term. Average investments increased by $41 million during the quarter to $414 million. When interest rates rose, we decided to deploy approximately $151 million of cash into mortgage-backed securities. Average interest-bearing cash balances grew $42 million to $349 million. These balances are currently invested at the Federal Reserve, and we earn 0.25% on our money. While the recent yield curve steepening is encouraging, the still low absolute level of interest rates combined with tight spreads argue for prudent deployment into investments in fixed-rate assets at this time. Average deposits for the quarter grew $24 million to $2.75 billion, and the total cost of deposits fell 2 basis points. Quarterly average non-interest-bearing DDA rose $18 million to $550 million, which is 20% of average deposits. Average now and money markets rose $19 million due to growth in our Kapow checking account, while our average CDs fell $14 million. Overall, our deposit base is very stable, and our objective is to methodically reprice, retain, and grow our relationships over time. We believe that we are well positioned for rising rates with a low mix of CDs and an attractive mix of non-interest-bearing DDAs. Total non-interest income fell on a linked-quarter basis by $4.4 million to $5.8 million. Recent increases in interest rates negatively impacted our Sun Home Loans mortgage results. While we have a retail platform with relatively high purchase mix versus refi, we did see a fall in production in the quarter. Some of the production metrics were loans sold, excluding bulk loan sales, fell from $162 million in the second quarter to $127 million in the third quarter. The locked sale pipeline fell from $84 million to $27 million. Loans held for sale, excluding bulk sales, fell $24 million to $19 million. So as you can see, all of our metrics saw a decline with the rate rise. In prior quarters, we had also sold some jumbo mortgage loans out of the loan portfolio in an effort to reduce interest rate risk. In the third quarter, we only sold a small amount of jumbo 10-1 ARMs. We put it all together, and our net mortgage banking income fell from $5.6 million to $1.6 million. We do expect lower volumes in coming quarters due to the interest rate environment. We are seeing a high purchase mix in our pipeline right now, which is what we have been focusing on for the past couple of years. Late in the quarter, in reaction to the changing environment, we reduced our fixed expenses through the reduction of 19 people, which will save about $1.3 million annually. We remain committed to building this business in the future, and these reductions are part of the normal process of aligning expenses and revenues in our retail mortgage banking platform. All other fees were relatively flat, and we had no security gains in the quarter. Moving to expenses, total non-interest expense came in at $33 million, which is down from $33.2 million in the previous quarter and up from $31.3 million 2 quarters ago. We decided to accelerate regulatory remediation and Sun Home Loans platform enhancement efforts in the quarter. Total professional fees were $5.9 million, which is up from $4.8 million in the prior quarter and $0.7 million in the year-ago period. In a more normal environment, these expenses should be about $1 million per quarter. Salaries and benefits declined by $0.3 million in the quarter to $12.7 million and declined $1 million relative to 1 year ago. Operational efficiency efforts plus adjustments in some accruals were the main drivers in these expense reductions. We had $439,000 in one-time costs related to the closure of 3 branches, which occurred during the quarter. Going forward, we expect to see $1.2 million of annual expense savings as a result of these closures. Overall, we continue to manage our expenses tightly. Our high level of spending on consultants will taper in the second half of Q4 and then normalize in the Q1, Q2, 2014 timeframe. With our net loss for the quarter, our capital ratios fell slightly. Total risk-based capital ratio at the bank ended at 14% and 14.7% at the bank corp. The Tier 1 leverage ratio ended at 9.1% for the bank and the bank corp. When considering the falling risk in our balance sheet, considering our recent workout progress, considering a large amount of excess liquidity, and considering the absolute level of our capital ratios, we believe that we have adequate capital at this time. So in conclusion, we are making significant progress in our efforts to improve the operating performance of the bank. As we look ahead, we do see a higher net interest margin as we deploy excess cash into quality loan growth from our lending platforms and opportunistically purchase investments. We see a normalized run rate for credit-related costs. We see falling operating expenses as we see a tapering of consulting expense. And we will see fee income pressure when you look at year-over-year comparisons due to the rise in interest rates as our fee income falls from our Sun Home Loans mortgage banking business. With that, thank you, and let me turn it over to Imran Riaz to discuss asset quality.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, everybody. As you have heard from Tom and Tom, our overall strategy is to focus on smart growth without going out on the risk curve. We are achieving this by astute underwriting process and careful client selection. During this past quarter, we have also added some key positions in our credit administration area to enhance our portfolio management capabilities. These enhancements, coupled with aggressive workout strategies and proactive pruning of non-core loans, is helping us improve the risk profile of our loan portfolio. During this quarter, we also introduced a comprehensive update and revision to our credit policy. This update operationalized some key portfolio monitoring and control policies that will help us in early identification and management of softening credits. On the last call, we informed you about the new risk rating system. In the late third quarter, we began the project to re-rate our loans in accordance with the new rating system. This process is expected to be completed during the fourth quarter. Based upon the early testing, we have not seen any major deviations in the ratings. However, the final impact, if any, of this project is unknown at this time. I'll bring your attention to slide 13 as I talk about the classified loans. Our classified loans increased by approximately $22.6 million to $174 million. Approximately $13 million of this increase was in the surgical center portfolio. This portfolio includes loans to startup surgical centers, which have been slower in their ramp-up to the originally projected revenue targets. Due to the change in healthcare industry and additional risk associated with startup financing, we have stopped originating these loans since the beginning of 2013. In addition, a real estate office building loan, approximately $7 million, lost a major tenant, and the releasing of the space has taken a little longer than originally anticipated. which resulted in the downgrade. The newly enhanced monitoring and control process is recognizing the softness in the credit and addressing the risk rating and developing a strategy before it is too late to resuscitate. An important point to highlight is that as of September 30th, 68% of our classified loans are current in their payments and are accruing, versus at year-end 2012, approximately 66% were on non-accrual, which is a complete flip-flop. If there is such a thing as a better quality classified loan, we have these, which should minimize future downgrade migration or charge-off. That is, the legacy risk in the portfolio is methodically being eliminated. On slide 14, non-accrual loan metrics, as of quarter end September 30th, total non-accrual loans were $55.4 million, a $16.3 million reduction from prior quarter. This highlights the positive trend in our continued reduction of problem loans. During this quarter, we also realized the net recovery for the third straight quarter, another positive trend. On slide 15, real estate owned. Our real estate-owned portfolio continues to shrink as more properties are being sold without any significant new additions to the OREO balance. Slide 16, ALLL. The allowance increased modestly from $48 million as of June 30th to $48.9 million at September 30th, a net increase of $725,000. This included new charge-offs of $1.7 million and recoveries of $1.8 million, or a small net recovery of $123,000. As Tom had previously mentioned, our reserve to loans held for investments improved to 2.25% from 2.22% at the end of second quarter. Our total reserve to NPL ratio has also improved to 88.2%, up from approximately 67% at the end of previous quarter. The improving asset quality may result in a reduction to the amount of reserves that we hold. However, just like the reserve for Superstorm Sandy, we will take a cautious approach and assess the need and adequacy of reserve levels and refine the amounts at the appropriate time. In conclusion, we are building a scalable and sustainable credit risk management model at Sun that will allow us to grow in scale while adhering to sound underwriting and robust credit administration. These practices will poise us nicely for continued improvement in asset quality and smart portfolio growth in 2014 and beyond. I thank you and turn it over back to you, Tom.
Thanks, Imran. So the close of the third quarter has brought us closer to creating an organization that has a strong balance sheet, an acceptable risk profile, and a business model that will allow for predictable and sustainable earnings growth moving forward. While methodical, we are confident in our progress and optimistic about the opportunities ahead. Thank you, and operator, I'd like to now open it up for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, it is star one on your touch-tone phone. And if you would like to withdraw your question, it is star two. And if you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Again, to ask a question, it is star one. And our first question comes from the line of Travis Lamb with KBW. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks. How do you guys think internally about the timeline to normalizing the liquidity position?
Yeah, Travis, we're currently in our planning process for next year, and we kind of have a baseline estimate, and then we're looking at some new opportunities. So depending on whether we want to move into some different asset classes, the more low risk like multifamily, et cetera, we'll determine how quickly we deploy that. But as we've been saying, the primary objective right now is on solidifying the platform, remediating regulatory issues, and then we'll move forward.
Travis, this is Tom. I think we have more opportunities in front of us. I mean, I really do. When you take a look at the economic environment, C&I has absolutely been affected probably more than, any, I'll call, loan asset class, with the exception of, maybe mortgage lending here just recently. And we have also, through this process of, strengthening our infrastructure, we've also spent some time and taken some time away from our loan officers and asked them to focus a little bit more internally also. So I think as we begin 14 and we start to point our loan officers and our credit officers and, those that make up our origination team more outwardly out into the marketplace, I think the team that we have will just inherently continue to grow our core business, because most of or much more of their time will be focused on that. If you look at that statistic that I pointed to a little bit earlier, over 60% of our, new loans that we're originating are from new customers. So I do think we have a competitive advantage. I think that, as Tom said, I think we could do some more in the multifamily marketplace. We all believe here at this company that we could do more in small business. We've got a good network of branches, what I'll call in the central and certainly the southern part of the state. We do small business lending. We're very good at growing deposits in small business and merchant services in small business, but I think there's more that we can do there. So, as Tom said, we've got some plans. We're planning right now. Overall, it's more focus on growing the portfolio, more external than internal, but at the same, not forgetting about kind of where we were and making sure we're conservative in how we underwrite, not sacrifice that as we grow.
That's very helpful. Just on the mortgage side, how did the pipeline respond to kind of the pullback in rates late in the quarter and in the early part of this quarter?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a sharp reduction in our refi volume, and also the purchase volumes declined. So it was, I went through some of the metrics before, and the locks, for example, went from $84 million, down to a very low level. So we definitely saw a movement there. Rates have drifted back the other way. We saw shock up, and they're coming down. Fourth quarter and first quarter tend to, the seasonality tends to be negative. So as we look forward, we do expect to see, a little bit of a rebound in the spring. But to your question, late in the quarter, we did see a pretty sharp reduction. Now, we've been very closely monitoring our pricing, and we've adjusted, our margins to, make sure we get our fair share. The whole industry, did the same thing, where, you saw rates back up, everybody kind of pulled their margins in a little bit, looked at the expense side, and try to, manage your profitability of your platform to the right level. So again, we're pretty well positioned for the lower, volume environment, but we do see it rebounding into, the spring timeframe.
All right. Travis, it's Tom again. I also think it's important to think about the mortgage business strategically here at Sun. And when you take a look at our mortgage business, and I know we've talked about this before, and the year-over-year closed production certainly indicates that we're in the early stages of building this business. And so, as we've said, we're investing still in infrastructure to it. But as you look into next year, certainly, with where the mortgage industry is, probably everyone will be down or flat at best. And, I think you can include us in that grouping. But we have a unique opportunity because this is a relatively new business for us. We think through just some tweaking of our model, we can actually increase our margins. So, for example, we don't sell direct right now. We do best efforts. We don't do mandatories. We don't have a huge investor base. So as we move into 2014, and the retail platform is built, those are some other initiatives that we're working on that should allow us to increase our margin while we continue to build the business. So we think we should be able to take, more market share at a better margin in 2014.
That's really helpful. That's really helpful. And then just finally, what do you have a sense for what percentage of the portfolio has been reviewed under the new rating system?
On a dollar amount basis, this is Imran. On a dollar amount basis, we have about 54-55% complete.
Perfect. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Matthew Breese with Stern Agee. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Matthew.
A few questions. You know, you'd mentioned in your commentary that it sounds like by, you know, mid-2014 you expect to get to some sort of normalized expense run rate, or more normalized, I should say. Can you give us an idea of what that, in fact, is, where you expect expenses to settle out?
I think we'll get more normalized in the first quarter, late first quarter into the second quarter. But, you know, there's the biggest there's two big categories. One is the consulting expense. You know, the professional fees, if you look at our income statement, in a normal environment, around $1 million per quarter. You know, last quarter we were around $6 million. So, you know, you can do the math on that. You look over the past few quarters. So that consulting expense will just, you know, go away. The other is our problem loan costs. You know, throughout the year, you know, we've seen those drop off as our problem loans fall further. So as we go into next year, you know, you'll see those expenses fall away. You know, and a couple of the expense initiatives I mentioned, too, is, you know, we continue to consolidate our branches. The three we consolidated, you know, we'll shave off some expenses. We also reduced some headcount earlier this year, just normal operational efficiency type efforts. So, you know, if you look at our expenses, we'll take out the consultants. Our problem loan costs will fall back. You know, we've done operational efficiencies, and then we've made some investments. We've used some of the. We're still going to net be, you know, saving a lot of money, but we made some investments in our risk management infrastructure.
Okay, but nothing specific as far as a targeted quarterly expense run rate.
Yeah, we haven't put any public targets out, but again, the biggest one is the professional fees.
Okay.
You know, you could shave. Look at the Q3 and take off $5
million. Okay. And then, you know, in regards to the professional fees and the regulatory remediation efforts that were expedited this quarter, can you update us on the MOU and where that stands and how the expedited taking those fees got you any closer to resolution?
Sure. It's Tom, Matthew. First, it's a formal agreement with the OCC. But, you know, as you know, it's very difficult for us, and we're actually prohibited from commenting on that. But, you know, where we see the business moving forward from a regulatory and an infrastructure perspective is putting the right foundations in place. So I'll give you an example, right? So vendor management, right? I mean, you hear a lot about that in the press. So what's our vendor management look like? Can we enhance it? Can we put something online? What's critical vendors? What do they cost us? And really going through it and really being proactive and methodical on how we build the governance across the organization. And do we have right policies and procedures, not just for who we are today, but for really who we want to be tomorrow? So what we decided to do as an organization was really, you know, accelerate these, you know, versus just, you know, nickel and diming ourselves for $1 million or $2 million a quarter. Let's get some additional bodies in here and get some expertise in here that can help us build some of these processes and this infrastructure. And at the same time, you know, backfill with very experienced professionals so that we can sustain all of those systems that we put in place. So while I can't comment directly on where we are, I can tell you that we certainly believe that we're making progress. We've got the energy behind it. We're spending the dollars, and we're doing everything we can, you know, to accelerate it.
I'm sorry, I called it an MOU. It's a formal agreement.
That's okay.
In terms of capital and that formal agreement that was part of it, you know, at what point do we reach, you know, the breaking point where you guys, you know, in fact, do need more capital to satisfy the agreement?
Well, let's just be very direct. We do not need more capital to satisfy our IMCRs as they are outlined in the formal agreement. We're significantly above those, but I'll let Tom talk about capital more.
I mean, the one thing you consider with capital is you look at the current risk profile of the company. We continue to reduce our problem loans. We have a lot of liquidity, and, you know, we're enhancing the management, the risk management infrastructure. So the whole company is at a much lower risk profile than 2 or 3 years ago. So, you know, you look at our capital ratios, we're, you know, the absolute level is relatively high. The other thing which we talked about on previous calls is as you go forward with our deferred tax asset out there, if we get to a sustained level of profitability, that's an additional pocket of capital that comes back on the balance sheet. So, you know, we have adequate liquidity to deploy, you know, into loan growth without growing the balance sheet. We have, you know, capital cushions there. We're seeing significant risk reduction progress. So at this time, the conclusion is capital is adequate. So that's where we are. And again, you know, we believe we have enough capital to handle the risk on the balance sheet today. And then as you look forward into next year, you know, we have that pocket of growth capital that if we execute, you know, we'll be able to tap.
And in regards to the DTA, you know, with this quarter's loss and considering the look-back period, where do you think we stand in terms of, you know, the ultimate recovery or at least a partial recovery?
Yeah, I think the way to answer that, and I'm going to be like a broken record on this one, the key metrics are, you know, the number of quarters of profitability, the absolute level of profitability, and our future outlook for profits. So, you know, if you looked at, say, last quarter, you know, we had a number of quarters of profitability. And, you know, I think with the loss this quarter, you know, we had said that, hey, in the mid-next year we could take a look at it. I think that pushes it out to the end of the year. So that's how we're going to look at that is we need to string, you know, a number of quarters of profitability together and continue to grow the absolute level of profitability.
Excuse me, this is the operator. Something happened to Matthew's line, and he suddenly disconnected.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure he knows how to get hold of us, and we can answer his question offline, but everyone heard Tom's answer.
And there are no further questions at this time, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much. We appreciate your time and attention, and we will look forward to speaking with you at the end of the year. Thank you. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude your call for today. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.